All right, hello everyone. I'm so glad you're here because we know we're here because we love Jesus, don't you? And we know that Jesus, he shows himself strong. The presence of God flows deep and strong as we just look to him. We know the word of God, it will be spoken in this very hour. And as you pay attention to the Holy Spirit's voice, he will speak life into you, amen? Because that's what he does. And you know, no matter what you're going through in life, you know, God, he knows everything. So as he knows what your situations are, what your problems are, you simply say, Lord, it is yours. And you just watch God, what he will do as you just surrender it over to him. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and let's start off with the word of prayer. Let's come before our Father. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. As we know, this time is all about you. And Father, I pray, as we know, your holy warrior angels are all around us. They are here. They're here to minister more of your holy presence. I pray, Lord, as we come with hearts that are submitted to you, we're going to receive your word in its fullness. And Father, we know we're not going to leave it the same person because we realize this is how powerful your words are. And as it touches our heart, as we receive your word, I pray, Lord, that we truly will be transformed. We know we're becoming more like your son, Jesus. So we give all of this time unto you now. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. But if you take a look at your notes, today the title of the sermon is Who is Worthy of Respect? And we know this is part three, right? We've been doing this series for the past 2 weeks. And so today is the last of the three-part series. So that means today is part three. So who is worthy of respect? If you got a pen or a pencil, you can write on that top blank. Self, right? Self, S-E-L-F. And so we're going to talk about self-respect. Do you think you deserve respect? Well, yeah, we should, right? But do you respect yourself? That is another question we should ask ourselves. And I think we got to start off with a proper definition of what self-respect is. You know, the Cambridge Dictionary defines it as follows. They define self-respect as a feeling of respect for yourself that shows that you value yourself. Do you value yourself? Do you think you're pretty special in your own eyes? Yeah, nothing wrong with that, right? Come on, you know, God created you, right? But you know, the Urban Dictionary, you know, actually there is something called the Urban Dictionary, and it's in the computer, in the internet, where they define self-respect as, here's what they say. It means being proud of who you are, even with the mistakes you made in the past. It means looking at yourself in the mirror and thinking, hey, this guy has his act together. While you reflect on your past life, you should smile and think, man, I am awesome. And it means not using alcohol, drugs, or violence to solve your problems. It means to overcome those who bring you down. Whatever hurts you only makes you stronger. Hey, so far, the definition is pretty good, yeah? And say, it's to think that you are a good person, but not to the point of arrogance or narcissism. You don't have to be the smartest kid in your class, and you don't have to make $1 million a year, and you don't have to be popular to have self-esteem and self-respect. Okay, hey, that's not a bad definition at all. I gotta tell you something here. You know, some time ago, I was walking in the parking lot and I saw this sign on a car that read this, car for sale, 2003 Mercedes-Benz to be sold as is, make offer cheap. And then after cheap, there's three exclamation points. And they didn't tell, you know, how much that they were offering. But I was thinking, how cheap is cheap? Because when I kind of took a closer look at the car, I kind of realized it was full of, you know, rust, dings, dents, and scratches. Hey, it didn't look so good, okay? Then as I kind of walked around the parking lot, I saw another car that also had a sign on it that read, 98 Ford Mustang. So it's a 1998 Ford Mustang, $10,000. Or best offer, okay, would you pay? I mean, it's 1998, but I guess it's a classic, I don't know. But when I looked at it, I gotta tell you, it was like in pristine condition. It was perfect condition, no scratches at all. It had nothing but a red brilliant shine. I go, oh, I can see my reflection in the car. It was that shiny. And here's the thing. You would think, right, that the Mercedes would be worth more because we usually consider it to be a luxury car, don't we? The Mercedes-Benz. But what really seemed to matter the most was what the owner thought the value, what he thought the value of his car was worth, and what the general condition of what the car was itself. And, you know, here's the thing. We realize, we kind of look through our lives and we kind of think, were there times in our lives we didn't feel like we were worth much? You know, because for some people that have gone through some major trials and hardships in their lives, they may feel like, hey, I'm not worth very much. You know, they may look at their accomplishments and say, I didn't really accomplish much. And they may just look tired and worn out. You ever met someone like that? They just look like, man, you know, I'm not worth much at all. While for others, you know, for some, they may have, you know, gone through some difficult times too. Or they may not have, but, you know, they look like they're brand new. They look like they're refreshed. They look vibrant. They look alive. And it made me kind of think, you know, if I had a for sale sign on my neck, how much would I be sold for? Okay, maybe something like this. For sale by owner. Anybody like buying me? Imagine, because I know God is my creator. Let's just say, you know, for whatever reason, he decided, okay, I'm going to sell Ben. Okay, would you want to buy me? Hey, come on, I'm pretty. Okay, right? If I walked around like this, would you even consider buying me? Because it says for sale by owner, okay? Not that God would ever want to sell anybody, okay? But let's just say, how much do you think I would be worth? How much do you think you would be worth? And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look in the Bible and see what the scripture says about our worth to God. Because God wants us to think that we are valuable. Because, you know what? His Bible clearly tells us so. So here is the question. It says, as believers, why is it important that we have self-respect? In other words, why is it important that we have to hold ourselves as being one who is of great value? Look at number one here. It says, we should respect ourselves because we know that God highly values us as his created beings, okay? And we realize every living being on earth, who are they created by? Yeah, by God, by Jesus, right? And that's what the scripture tells us. Whether it be animals, insects, reptiles, or any living organism for that matter. But you know, when it concerns human beings, did you know God holds us as human beings as of highest value and greatest value? Well, how do you know that? Okay, well, the Bible says. I want you to look at Genesis 1, 26 to 27. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. 27. So God created mankind is in his what? Own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And we know for a fact that we are highly valued by God because we are made in his image. Yeah, it should be when you look in the mirror. Yeah, I got the spitting image of my daddy God. Because that's what he tells us. You're made in his image. So here's the thing though, why does God say in these verses, let us, wait, God is one, doesn't say gods, it says God. Well, what do we know about God? He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is the image of God. Did you know you have the image of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit? Because that's what it tells us here. Because it's referring to the Trinity, okay? And that we know there's three in one. And think about this. If we're actually made in God's image, do you believe God is all good? Do you believe he's perfect? So in the eyes of God, remember, we are created in His image. So how do you think God sees us?
Perfect.
Does He see us as being perfect? As being all good? Yeah, because guess what? We are His creation. Simply put, when it especially concerns humans, God don't make junk. What He creates is good. Especially when it concerns humans, because only us as humans are created in His image. And He made animals and everything else in creation, right? Secondary to human life. We are first because we are made in His image. And after He made us, He entrusted to us certain responsibilities over all of creation. Why would He do that? Don't you think He must trust us? Well, He made us, so hey, come on. But we're going to look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 8 and look at what his perspective is. I want you to read this with me. Psalm 8, 3 to 8. Ready? Go. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set into place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them, what does it say there? Only a little lower than God. Wow, what does that mean? We're going to talk about that. And crown them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims in the ocean currents. Wow. And, you know, here's the thing. I remember once there was a child in Sunday school that told his Sunday school teacher that, you know, this is what he told the teacher. He says, I believe that if you were to compare God to human beings, right? It's just like you're comparing a human being to an ant. You think that's accurate? So it's just like, in other words, it's just like a human being is God, right? Ant is like the human being. Do you think that's true? No, actually, it shouldn't be. You know why? Because here's the thing. The Bible clearly tells us that God is infinite. What does infinite mean? Yeah, forever. There's no end. There's no limit. So how can we even be compared to God? Because we know as humans, we are finite. God is infinite. That means there's no end. But as human beings, do we have an end? Yeah. Do we have limits? Yeah, we do. Yeah. And so we know we can't really compare ourselves to God. If we were to say, oh, we're going to put ourselves right next to God and we're going to try to compare ourselves. No, you cannot. Because God is infinite and we are not. We are finite. But, you know, if you read on what that scripture says, the psalmist sees us only. Look what it says there. A little lower than God. You know, another translation says a little lower than the angels or heavenly beings. But what does that mean to be a little lower than God? Well, first of all, the psalmist probably knew the scripture where it says that we are made in the image of God. But here's the thing. We're made in the image. We're not God. Because some people, they may get the idea, oh, does that mean I can become God too? No, there's only one God, and you are not to say I am above Him or even equal to Him, because God, He is infinite, and you are finite. And therefore, we are never to think that we are above Him. But we realize that God values us so much that He puts us in charge of everything. So, you know, He must look at us and say, oh, I can depend on them. Because you think about it, right? Every other created being, you know, do they have the kind of intelligence we have? No, they don't, right? And so somehow God says, okay, I'm going to put the human beings in charge. So He put us in charge of all of creation. Let me ask you something. Do you think we've been doing a great job? A wonderful job of taking care of the planet?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you think about it. You look at the pollution. Right, in the air and in the water. You know, sometimes we say, oh, Hawaii is not so bad. You know, it's true maybe, you know, because I've been to other places where you know, the smog, you know, because of the factories, you know, and all that. It's thick, man. You can't even see your hand. You know, if you go in certain places, if you were to put your hand right in front of you, you probably couldn't see your hand. And then you look in the water, it's so filthy. It's dirty, right? Does it look like human beings are taking care of God's creation? Maybe not, right? And with the war and destruction that's going on all over the world, are we taking care of each other? Well, some of us do. Some of us do have a genuine concern for other people, but you know, generally speaking, not so much, right? But yet, God still has this confidence that, you know, He can entrust us to take care of this planet, because, you know, everything else of creation, right, that was from the very hand of God, is supposed to be inferior to us. We're supposed to be superior in the sense that God made us in His image, and He gave us the responsibility to take care of this earth. So we as human beings are the only ones that can, what? Go to God and ask for His wisdom in making things better in this world. Because no other creature can do this, right? God cannot ask a chimpanzee, right, to find solutions in making this world a better place. What would the chimpanzee say? That's about it, right? But, you know, here's the thing. We go to God and we ask for wisdom. What does the scripture say He will do? He's going to give us a lot of wisdom. The Bible says, you ask of God, He's going to give you an abundance of His wisdom. So that's why God, He can entrust us to do this. Because only as believers, we know it's not so much our wisdom, our knowledge that will make really any difference. It's His wisdom. As believers, we ask of Him and He gives it to us. So the question is, do we ask of Him? We should, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we think we have all the answers, don't we? And that's why, you know, that's why people sometimes they kind of wonder, hey, how come it didn't work out? How come it's now even worse than what it was before? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you never asked of God. You must get into the habit of asking God for solutions. Really, as a believer, we should. Because the scripture tells us He gives us much of His wisdom. And He'll give you supernatural knowledge. Things that you never imagined that you would know, or, you know, think that you would be able to do, suddenly you're doing it. Why? Because God will give you that ability. If you ask of Him. Because He wants to know that you are the one that's seeking Him. Amen? You don't believe me? You go ask Him. You say, Lord, I want more wisdom. Can we just ask Him right now? Say, Lord, I want more wisdom from You. Just see. You're going to become more smart. You're going to realize God really does this. He downloads His wisdom. He downloads knowledge. And you're going to see that, wow, God really, He does this because He wants us to be the ones to really rule the earth. Right? To take charge, to say, hey, I'm representing God. And the very knowledge that's coming out of you is from God. Amen?
Amen.
Look at number two. It says, we should respect ourselves because what? He chose us first. What does it mean, He chose us first? Well, you know, a lot of times you'll hear a preacher at the pulpit, right? They're telling you, oh, to receive Christ, right? They will say to you that you must make a decision to accept Christ into your heart today, that it is a choice that only you can make. Is that true? Yeah, for yourself. You're the only one that can make this choice. No one can force you. Your spouse cannot, your sibling. No, they can, you know, grab you by the neck and say, you better make this decision now. No, it's not gonna be real. It has to come from your heart. So yes, it is true that no other human can make this choice for you, for your life, but you know what? It is also true that, did you know God chose us first? When? When did God choose us, you may ask? Well, we're going to find out in the scriptures. As in the case of prophet Jeremiah, you know he was chosen by God to be someone of great purpose. As, you know what? When God told him what his purpose was, God already had his whole life planned out. Do you believe God has your life planned out?
Yes, He does. It doesn't mean that you have to be a great prophet in order to have your life planned out. No, it doesn't matter. If you know that you were chosen by God to be His very own, that's what I'm talking about. God has your life already planned out. Do you think it's all good? Of course. Because His role to us as God is Father. We are His children. Hey, Father loves His children. Come on, right? So you know that God, He has nothing but His very best in mind for you. You know that He really chose you first. I want you to look what it says here in Jeremiah 1, 4 to 8. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my what? My prophet to the nations. O sovereign God, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. Prophet Jeremiah says. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. The Lord has spoken. And we realize, you know, God says, even before I formed you in your mother's womb, I already set you apart. You are called to be someone great, someone who will speak forth my very words. And if that seems pretty amazing to you, right, that God would know us even before we were born, think about that. How is that possible? Well, remember, we're dealing with something that is of God. We're dealing with infinite wisdom, okay? So, yes, God can do that. As human beings, we cannot know somebody before they're born, okay? That's impossible, okay? But we know with God, this is more than possible because God's wisdom is infinite. There is no end. There is no limit. I want you to look at Ephesians 1, 4 to 6. Look what it says there. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. Even before He made the world, God loved us and He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through who? Through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. So get this now, even before He made the world. It's not before we were born now. Get this now, before God even made the world, He knew you. Huh? Oh, that's what the Bible says. Is that possible? Yes. With God's only infinite wisdom can that be understood, okay? But we know it's only through God that this can happen. And so, the question now to ask is, for what reason were we chosen by God to be His people? You have to ask yourself, why did God choose me? Why? Why did God choose you? Why did He choose me? Okay, well, we're going to find out. Okay, let's look at Romans 8, 28 to 30. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. And we know that God causes everything to work together for what? For the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like who? Like His Son Jesus, right? So that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them what? His glory. Wow. So first of all, God chose us because, you know what? He knew that we would be the ones that would make a decision for Him and say, hey, I want to be like Jesus. Because do you think everyone in this world wants to be like Jesus? No, right? Because our hearts, when it received the Word of God, we heard the Word of God, and we realized it was the truth. And then and only then, our hearts said, I want to be like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus? That's why God chose us. He knew that our hearts would say, yeah, I want to be like your Son. And then it says, He gave them right standing with Himself. What does right standing mean? What it means is that when we confessed of our sins, when we repented,
right? You were in right standing with God, because guess what? We're not perfect, but we are forgiven. That's what it means to be in right standing with God. You are forgiven because you believe that Jesus shed his blood for you on the cross, that you received him into your life, and your desire is to become more like Jesus. This is right standing with God. And then it says here, he gave them his glory. What is his glory? It's the presence of God. It's the very fact that you know that God is present in your life, because guess what? You're living the Word of God. You're doing the Word of God, and you get excited about the things of God. And if this is you, guess what? You're chosen. You're chosen. You were chosen by God first, because he knew that you would do all these things, that your heart would be submitted to him. Look at 1 Peter 1:2. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. God the Father knew you and chose you when? Long ago. And his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. He says, first of all, he chose us long ago, and the Holy Spirit made us holy. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be holy unto God. Holy means to be like God. I mean, the sense that we are to be righteous in the very eyes of God, knowing that we desire to be like his Son. And it tells us the very fact that we have obeyed him, and we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be cleansed by the blood of Christ? Because you think about this, if you tell this to someone who never heard the Word of God before, or maybe they don't really understand it. Oh, I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I mean, what do you think a person of the world would think that means? Okay, but we as Christians know what that means. When we are cleansed by the blood, we believe that Jesus, he shed his blood on the cross for us. And then by doing so, we know, the Bible says, there is forgiveness of sins. So when we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you know, it's just like, you know, the very fact before we became Christians, before we came to know Christ, there were like shackles on our ankles. There were chains that were holding us. And it's like the devil was just dragging us around, because the devil said, oh, go here, go there, you're going to have fun. This is what you want to do. This is what the whole world, you know, does, and you can do it too. And we were held in bondage. But when we were cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that means we've been set free. Amen? We've been set free. Don't ever say, oh, I cannot help myself. No, if you are a child of God, yes, you can. Because God has set you free. You can't help yourself, because the Holy Spirit is helping you at all times. And so you are free from whatever addiction, you're free from whatever the devil has held you in bondage with. And you just say, by the blood of Jesus, I've been set free. Amen? Amen. And you have to say that with heart. You must say that with authority, knowing that God has done this for you. And you know that God, he will always display his power in your life if you know you truly are chosen by God. I want you to look at John 15:16. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and what? What does it say there? Bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So let's think about this. Well, what are the fruits? Because it tells us, you know, Jesus says we're going to go out there and we're going to bear fruit. Does that mean we're going to plant a banana tree? No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. You know, our apple tree or whatever it may be. No, he's talking about fruit that are considered to be the works unto our Lord. You know, so things like leading others to Christ, you know, ministering to their needs, you know, displaying the power of God. Do you pray for people when they're sick? Do they turn to God as you speak forth the words that will bring life, you know, to their soul? You know, I mean, these are things that God has called us to do. And we got to go out into the world. That's what Jesus has commissioned us to do. And knowing that you are chosen, I am chosen to do these very things. Hey, you should have a lot of respect
for yourself. Because you realize it's not so much you, it's God in you that gives you these kinds of abilities to do great and mighty, wonderful things. You know that God, He will not stop doing these things. As long as you have a willing heart, God will continue to display His power in you. But I know some of you may be asking, right? So Pastor Ben, how come God never choose me? Because you may be sitting here, I'm not sure, right? You may be saying, oh, you know, I heard the word of God, you know, several times, and you know, I heard other preachers preach the word, but I never made a decision for God. So does that mean He never choose me? He don't like me? Well, I'm going to tell you something. God, He loves all of His creation. But the very fact is, He's waiting for you to make a decision to receive Him into your heart. I want you to look at this verse here, 2 Peter 3:9. Can you read it with me? Ready? Go. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, what does it say there? He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to what? Repentance. Repentance. Why is God patient? Who is He patient with?
Us.
For who?
Us,
yeah? Do you think He's patient with the unbeliever? Yeah? Well, what is He, how is He patient with them?
He doesn't strike them dead.
Oh, He doesn't strike them dead, okay, but we know, right? He's waiting, right? Yeah, He's waiting for them to repent, right? He's waiting for them to turn from their sins and turn to Him. But we realize, you know, it says that He doesn't want anyone to perish. What does it mean to perish?
To die.
To die, right? To spiritually die. What we got to understand is there's two kinds of death, right? Spiritual death, and then there's a physical death. Physical death, everyone's going to die physically, right? I mean, nobody lives forever in this body. But to experience spiritual death, you know what that means? To be forever separated from God. You want to be forever separated from God? No. Well, the thing is, you don't make a decision for God. You don't choose His Son as your Lord and Savior. There's going to come a day that you're going to be judged eternally. And you're going to be in a place forever, right? And this place is not a good place. It's a place of torment. It wasn't meant for human beings, but we know it was meant for demon spirits. But the fact is, right, we know, the Bible is very clear, we had to have made a decision for Christ. We had to choose Him. In order for you to be allowed into the holy presence of God, into His kingdom forever, we had to have made a decision to receive Christ into our hearts. And so that's why He says He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone. Look what it says there. Everyone to come to what?
Repentance.
He wants everyone to confess of their sins and turn from their evil ways and turn to Him. And God is not going to force you to choose Him. Because even though He already knows if you know you're going to make a decision for Him, because remember, God is infinite in His wisdom. He already knows, right? But He will not put a program in your brain to say, I love you, God. You know, imagine. You know, if everyone, you know, let's say when we were born, you know, God just implanted a program into our brain where you automatically will love God. Is that real love? Is that the kind of love you would want from someone? If someone, let's just say, you know, they were programmed into their heads to just say, I love you all the time. I love you. I love you. Is that real love? No, it isn't. And that's why God, He wants you to make a decision based on your own love for Him. Amen? And if you can really show Him this kind of love that is from you, that's what God wants more than anything else. And the only way you're going to know if He really chose you first, guess what? You got to choose Him now. Every single day is a decision you make. Are you going to choose the ways of God? Are you going to choose to live according to His word? It's every day that you must choose Him. And as you do this, you know that God really has chosen you. Because the very fact your heart is surrendering to Him. Your heart is desiring His way. Amen? Not your way, but His way. And that's how you know you're gonna be one of his chosen ones. As long as you have breath on this planet Earth, you're gonna have that ability to make this decision for him. And guess what? You only got one chance. It's not like, oh, you know, when we're gonna be standing before the judge, right? Because it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. You cannot tell God, can I go back to Earth and try again? No, the Bible says you don't get a second chance. It's now. You must choose God every single day for the rest of your life and just give up your best to him. And I gotta tell you, you're not gonna have any fear, you're not gonna have any anxiety, because you know the Word of God says you are saved because your heart belongs to him. Your heart belongs to Christ. Amen? All right, well, let's look at the next point here. Number three, it says, we should respect ourselves because we know for a fact that our Abba Father cares for us deeply. Do you really believe that God cares for you? I mean, really, really care for you. How can we really know for sure that he cares for us? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that he knows every single detail of our life. Did you know that? Okay, I want you to read with me Psalm 139, 1-3. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down, when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything that I do. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. You can see the psalmist, you know, he's probably awestruck about the very fact that his Father God just knows every single detail about him, you know. And you think about this, right? You know, when a single man or woman, right, are interested in each other, right? You probably, you know, if you had dated before, you know, usually they will try to find out every single detail about the other person, you know, their likes and their dislikes, and then they will surprise them, you know, by showing up with something that they really like, you know, one of their favorites, and they go, oh, surprise, and then you bring whatever it is, a favorite dish or whatever it may be. You know, I remember that with my wife, Jonna Lee, when we were dating, you know, her favorite dish was fried pork chop. Not anymore, she doesn't eat pork anymore, but, you know, when she did like it, right? I mean, seriously, that was her favorite. She liked to eat that all the time, right? I would bring her a plate lunch, right? Pork chop, okay, with rice and macaroni, and accompany that with a pink or red rose, because I know that she likes pink or red rose, you know? So, and you just imagine her face. Wow, Ben, you know, you can see she's like so, like, you know, so amazed, but yet she's just like, you know, she's probably thinking, man, I got the best guy here, you know. But she knew what my favorite was too. And you know, I have to tell you, when I was working at the hospital, you know, she would tell me, say, Ben, come over for lunch. I ain't kidding you. One time I came over for lunch, you know what she had for me from Ray's Cafe? She had prime rib with lobster tail. I'm thinking, for lunch, you know? But I ate it all up. I was so full and I was so happy, and I was just more deeper in love with her. Because you know the what they say, right? With that phrase, a way to man's heart, it's through what? His stomach. And I gotta tell you, when I saw that, I was like, whoa, I wanna marry this one, you know? And so, that's what it is, right? But I gotta tell you, I can see how God, that's why he wants to know every single detail about us. Because you know what? He simply cares for us. But here's the thing though, he doesn't have to ask us, because that's how we come to know someone. We gotta ask them, oh, so what's your favorite color? You know, and things like that, right? But God, he created us, and he knows every single detail about you. I mean, there's no number that you can put, you know, to really come up with like how many details does he know about us. I mean, it'd be infinite, you know. And look what it says here in Luke 12:6-8. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. What is the price of 5 sparrows? 2 copper coins? Yet God does not forget a single one of them. And the very, what does it say there? Hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows.
I tell you the truth, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, the Son of Man will also acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. Wow. So, you know, the very fact is, you know, Jesus is pointing out, what's the price of 5 sparrows? 2 copper coins? Yet God, he cares for the sparrows. So, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, God cares for the sparrows. Can you imagine how much he cares for you? Come on now. And he knows the number of your hairs on your head. I know some of us don't have as many hairs, right? but the fact is, right, he knows. I think the average is like, I don't know, I think I did some research, average like 500 something or like that. But God, he knows the exact number. and the very fact, why? Why does he have to know these things? Because guess what? We are valuable to God. Amen? And with God's infinite wisdom, though, I can see how he would even take that to another level, you know, when it concerns details about his created beings, you know, created human beings. You know, just for as an example, you know, I had lunch at McDonald's the other day, and I was just kind of thinking about this. You know, I had a Big Mac with French fries and fruit punch, okay? And if you were to ask him, you know, exactly what I had, he would be able to tell you exactly what time I ate it, when, what time I ate the Big Mac, and then what time I ate the French fries, and what time I drank the fruit punch, okay? I mean, that the God, he's infinite. I want you to really get this. He's infinite in his wisdom, and he can tell you even the number of the sesame seeds that were on my Big Mac bun. I want you to get this now, you see? Because he knows these. I bet you, I can guarantee you, he would know this very Big Mac, how many sesame seed buns there was on it. And not the, he wouldn't only tell you the number of French fries I had, he would tell you the number of the granules of salt that were on the French fries. I really want you to understand this. This is what we call infinite wisdom. And then he would tell you how much sugar was inside my fruit punch. I want you to understand that's what God knows about every single person, because you know what, we are his creation. Amen. And if your heart belongs to Jesus, guess what, he loves you with great affection. I want you to look at Psalm 56:8. Can you read that with me? Ready, go. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Wow. Can you imagine, Father God, he knows all of our sadness. Those times when we were crying, you know, whatever it may be, we were just hurting over a relationship or whatever it may be. It says here, God collects all our tears in a bottle. And you kind of think about it, what does that mean? Why would God want to do that, collect our tears in a bottle? And you think about this, right? Just think about the times when you were really hurting and a friend always was calling you up. Say, hey Ben, are you okay? I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I know God loves you very much. And remember to call on Jesus, okay? Because you're going to experience his peace when you call on his name. I actually had friends that did this for me. When my dad passed away in 1999, I had friends that were constantly calling me up. And I, to me, that's collecting tears in a bottle. The very fact that they keep on remembering that I'm hurting. You know, some friends, right? They're never to be found, right? When you're hurting, they're like far off. Well, we know the friends that do these things for us, They do these things because they love us, because they really genuinely care for us. And I gotta tell you, if you have friends like that, man, make sure you let them know how much they're appreciated, you know, because they do this because they have a genuine love for you. Amen. I want you to look at Galatians 3:26 now. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. So you are all what? Children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now you're no longer a slave, but what? God's own child. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you. Okay, it says that we are all children of God through who? Through our faith in Jesus Christ. So, does this mean everyone in the world are children of God?
No.
You know why? Not until they accepted Christ. Not because I said so, not because you said so, it's because the scripture says so. It says, so you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So, if we as believers are children of God, what about the unbeliever then? They're not children of God. So what are they then? What do you call them? Well, you can say that they are creation of God. Just like we are, you know, we are all creation of God, right? Creations of God, right? But they don't actually become a child of God until they made a decision for His Son, Jesus Christ. And so if they're not a child, what else are they? It says, now you are no longer a what? A slave, but God's own child. So that means before we became a Christian, we were a slave. See that? Slave to who? No, not to God. Think about this. Slave to the world, a slave to the devil. Because remember, we were held in bondage by the devil. So we were a slave to the world. We were a slave to the devil. Not until you made a decision for Christ that you became a child. You are no longer a slave. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm no longer a slave. Praise God. You're no longer a slave because you are a true child of God because your heart belongs to Him. Amen? And look what else it says there. And since you are God's child, everything God has belongs to who?
Me.
Oh yeah, to you, brother. To me. As His children. No, you gotta share it, brother. Because we know that we are all children of God because we have faith in Christ. So you know what? Whatever God has, He says, hey, it's yours. It's mine. Because He gives generously and He wants you all to have it. Because that's what our Father God does. He gives generously to His children. And as you really understand this, you know that. As God, He just wants to just give up His very best to you. You should have no fear. You should not have no anxiety about what the future holds. Because you know, your future is in the very hands of God. Amen? I want you to listen to what this particular Christian author, what he says in his book. It's called Holy Sweat. His name is Tim Hansel, and he's an author and minister. So I want you to listen to what he says here. He says, one day while my son Zach and I were out in the country climbing around in some cliffs, he says, I heard a voice from above me yell, hey Dad, catch me. And he says, I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock straight at me. And he said he had jumped and then he yelled, hey, Dad. And he says, I became an instant circus act as I caught him. And he says, we both fell to the ground. And for a moment after I caught him, I could hardly talk. When I found my voice again, I gasped in exasperation. And he says, Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that? And he responded with a remarkable calmness. And he says, sure, because you're my dad. And his whole assurance was based in the fact that his father was trustworthy. And he could live life to the hilt because, he says, because I could be trusted. And he concludes by saying, isn't this even more true for a Christian? Do you believe in your Father God so much that you have no fear, you have no anxiety, knowing that He will always take care of you? Because sometimes we can say, yeah, Father God is going to take care of me, I'm no worry. But then we find ourselves pacing to and fro in our living room. We're pacing to and fro wondering if the situation will ever get better. Sometimes we just gotta be still and know that God is God and that He is for you. He loves you and He will care for you as you just trust in Him. Just like a little child, we gotta go to our Father God and say, yeah, Dad, I really trust you. You know, no matter where you jump off, right? Not to say you're going to go jumping off any cliff or anything like that. Don't do that. But we know, right, that we know we are safe in the hands of God. Amen? And God says, I'll never take my hands off you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you. What does it say there?
The high price.
The high price. Okay, just like a car, right? Just like hanging on the sun. For sale by owner, right? No, did God put that on us? No, he didn't put that on us, right? But it does say that we were bought with a high price. Who bought us? So what does it say there? So you must honor God with your body. So, wait a minute. When you think about this transaction, right? Who was sold?
Me.
Yeah, we were, right? Who bought us? Jesus did. God did, right? And who did he buy us from?
The world.
The world? Or you can even say, yeah, the devil. Because the devil, he had a hold on us, remember? Not that so much he owned us, but he had a stronghold. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, a stronghold on us. Well, what was the high price then? Let's look at Romans 5, 7 to 9. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But verse 8, what does it say there? But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Wow. So did Christ die for the believers? Everybody. Not only the believers, he died for the sinners. Even those. Yeah, he died for the world. It doesn't matter who the person was. He died for everyone, because he knew he was doing it out of love, out of compassion for everyone, for man, yes. And if you were the only person on this earth, do you think God would still have sent his son to die for you on the cross? Yeah, you better believe it, because that's how awesome his love is. You know, he knows that your heart belongs to him. You know, he would have done it for anyone, because that's how much love Jesus had. And going back to the question, how much are we worth, you know? How much are we worth to God? If we were to hang a sign on our necks, you know, how much do you think you would be worth? You got it. This would be the sign. I'm property of Jesus. I'm priceless. I'm without a price, because I'm forever property of Christ. And God says, I'm never letting you go. And Jesus, he says, that's why no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Because, you know what? Do you think God's hand has a pretty tight grip upon our lives? You better believe it. And God says, I'm never going to let you go. Because you belong to me. You're valuable to me. You're precious to me, because you're my child, and I love you that much. So if you ever wonder, you know, if you're valuable, oh yes, you are. It's because, guess what? The Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus resides in your heart. And Father God, he's always going to be there for you, because you know what? The Bible says God is love. So the very fact of the matter is, you got love, hey, you got God. And his love isn't going anywhere. His love is staying inside of you, because he's showing to you, my love is inside of you, because, hey, I love you. I love you because you're my child. Amen to that? Yes. Praise God. Why don't we go ahead, let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father, we know this message is something we all need to hear. Because sometimes we may think we're not worth very much. But according to your scriptures, Lord, we know we are valuable, we are precious in the very eyes of God. And Father, I pray that you always help us to remember that, because no matter what the devil will try to do to tell us that we are worthless, we know those are lies. And we're not going to listen to any of those lies, because we know the devil, he is bent on destroying us. But we're not going to listen to his lies. We're only going to listen to the truth. And your truth tells us that we are loved. And we will never stop being loved by you, Father, because your love goes on and on and on throughout eternity. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've been a Christian for some time now, but sometimes I am a question whether God, he really is for me or not. Whether he really loves me, or does he really know what's going on in my life? And as all the scriptures we've gone through today, we realize, oh yeah, he does. And he knows every single detail about your life, because that's how much he loves you. And right now, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I want to know with all certainty, with all my heart, that I belong to him. Well, you know, if you just simply make a declaration and say, Lord, here's my heart, it's all yours. You know, as you come with this kind of attitude, with this kind of heart, saying, Lord, I'm not going to do things my way. I'm going to do things your way from this day forward. I'm going to entrust my life to you. And I know, Father, you're only going to bring forth your very best. And I can trust you, because you are my Father God. And if this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, Lord, here's my heart. You can have it all. I want you to take the fullness of my heart, because, Lord, I love you. If this is your prayer, this is the cry of your heart right now, can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else saying, Lord, I give you all of me? Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. See your hand. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, here's my heart. Have your way. I just pray right now that you will just touch every single person here right now, Lord. Let them know that they are so deeply loved by you. And from this day forward, I pray that they will experience the fullness of your holy presence. As they come with their hearts fully surrendered to you, they're going to know just how pleased you are. And I pray, Lord, you're going to let miracles take place in their lives. You're going to let showers of blessings be poured forth upon them as they live for you.